The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you very much. You're very kind. You're very generous. I appreciate it. And it's my delight to be here, and I want you to take your Bible this morning, and I'll take as my text just one verse from Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. It's my joy to preach in this pulpit for Brother Wells and to rejoice in the testimony that he gave a little while ago in introducing me and the little part that I had in that. I'm grateful for that. Thankful that we had the privilege over the years to be a part of getting the gospel out, seeing people saved, and to see him become the pastor here a while back, and to see what you're doing together. I'm thrilled beyond words, beyond my ability to describe. I'm thrilled. And I'm grateful that every one of you that are here and part of that, and God bless you for it. And we're looking forward now these next two or three days. Listen, we're going to have ourselves a time. I promise you, it's going to be wonderful. And we'll get Brother Hamlet in here tonight, Brother Brown in here tomorrow night. And we're just going to kick and scratch and claw and dig and kick and a lot of stuff as we go. And going to have a good time. Now, can you raise me up just a little bit? Just a hair, sir. In preparation for reading this verse that I've announced as the text, you're good right there. You'll remember that in Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And that announcement preceded the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. He did come. He was born. He lived, and then he went to Calvary and died on the cross. And then when some came looking for him, there's another verse in Matthew 28 that says, "I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." The next verse says, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." And a few days more passed by, and more than 500 witnesses giving testimony to the fact that he was alive. They saw him, talked to him, etc. And then there came a day when he just ascended out of this world and out of the atmosphere and back to heaven. And the Lord dispatched two messengers from heaven who said to the folks who were watching and observing all of that, the messengers said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And so he came, he was birthed here, he died here, he rose from the grave here, he ascended back to heaven. And now then, the text that I'm about to read in Titus chapter 2, verse number 13, says to us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I read about that blessed hope, I need to say to you that there is coming a day. There is coming a day. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Now, when that day comes, heaven's trumpet sounds, and the Lord himself comes back, that will be a blessed day. Now, I like blessed days. I remember very clearly the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior, Pastor, as a lad of a boy, growing up in western Kentucky, where those great rivers, the Mississippi and the Ohio and the Tennessee River, those three rivers all bleed together there around the Paducah area. And we lived out about 15 miles from there on a little farm at the end of a dirt road. I didn't say gravel, I said dirt. We were a half a mile off of the gravel on a dirt road, except in the winter, and it was a mud road in the winter. But somebody came down the road to the end of the road where we lived in a little three-room house that was propped up on blocks. You could drive dogs and cats in and out from under it and didn't have to open or close anything. But somebody came down that road with the gospel. And the day that I heard that the first time, I literally got on my knees and was led to make that choice and that decision, and I received Christ as my Savior. That was a blessed day for me. Just a short time passed by, a couple of years passed by, and shortly after my 14th birthday, I walked forward one morning in a service like this, in a church much smaller than this. I walked forward and I told the pastor, I said, I believe God wants me to be a preacher. And it turned out that was a blessed day for me. My mother and dad were not, they just were not in the neighborhood of where they needed to be. And I went home that morning from church and told them what I had decided and what I had announced. And they were a long way from where they needed to be. But the pastor said that morning, he said, remember, I was 14 years of age in 1 month. And the pastor said, and you'll preach for us next Sunday night. Now, I said, oh, goody, goody, because I wanted to. What I did not know was that when that next Sunday night rolled around, that 60 of my relatives were going to show up. Both sets of my grandparents, cousins, uncles, aunts. One uncle drove 400 miles to get there. And among the people who came was my mother and dad. And when I finished that first attempt at preaching that night and gave the invitation, among the people who were down the aisle, the very first two was my mother and dad. They got on their knees and got right with God and served the Lord faithfully, faithfully, faithfully through all the years. Now that was a blessed day when I decided to let the Lord, I mean it started out that way, and just blessed it was. A few years passed by and I graduated from high school. I had a sweetheart in high school, and as soon as we got out of high school, I began to talk to her about getting married. And there was a day, about a year and a half after high school, where she and I went to the altar and said our I do's. That was a blessed day for me. We've been married about 800 years now. But I'm going to tell you something, we're still happy about it. We're still excited about that. That was a blessed day for me. And you know, there's some days that are etched in our memories, and they're infamous days, not good days at all. Some of you, maybe a few of you, I would not remember it because I was not alive at the time, but some of you will remember when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in December the 7th, 1941. And the president at that time said after that, he said, it is a day of infamy that will live in history. And he was right. I was alive the day that John Kennedy was killed here in your city. I was alive that day. And you know, I was not a Kennedy fan. I wasn't. He had all kinds of policies and things that I was not happy about. But I'm going to tell you, anytime anything like that happens anywhere, anytime to somebody in leadership, it's a sad day, and it is a day that is etched in our memories. We'll never forget where we were. You know, we think about the day the towers came down in New York and those other events of September 11th, 2001, And many, many of you were alive on that day, and you'll never forget where you were when you began to realize that was happening. Those are days of infamy. But there are other days that are famous days, really famous days. We like to remember them. I read the Bible. I think about the 7 days of creation, and I say, wow, what days that must have been. I think about the day of Christ being born at Bethlehem. Wow, what a day. I think about the day that he rose from the grave, the day that he ascended up to heaven. All of those famous days, just days that we look at it, we lock into it, and we say, what a day. The Bible says that there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will step out of heaven once again. He'll come for us. And whether, I mean the folks who have died already that are in Christ and their bodies are buried somewhere, every last one of them, every single one of them will be resurrected out of those graves. Everyone. I stopped in the Paducah area just a few, maybe a month ago now. My mother's still living. She's very aged, but not well, and I take every opportunity that I have to stop there, to go there to see her. And I got there about an hour and a half before she was, before I could go. There was some extenuating circumstances, and I was early. And I went to that little church where I preached my first sermon, and there's a big cemetery, 5 or 6 acres of it out back. And I went out back to the cemetery. I hadn't been in that cemetery in years and years. But I'd wanted to go in there and photograph those headstones of people that I knew when I was growing up, and there's people buried there that I went to school with, Betty and I graduated with, and others. And so I had the time, and I went and I took my iPad, and I snapped picture after picture after picture of those headstones. Sometimes Betty and I'll get to talking, and we'll say, well, what about Mr. and Ms. So-and-so? Well, yeah, I think he died, but she's alive. Well, when did he die? Well, I got it locked in now. I can just go to it and say, hey, I know exactly when it was. I know what day it was, and so on and so forth. Now, I've been to places like that, and in that particular cemetery, there's probably 100 or 125 people that I knew very, very well, and I photographed every single one of those headstones. Now, I've been to those cemeteries far too many times. I've gone, you've gone, we've been out there whenever we had loved ones to bury, our hearts were heavy. We make those treks to the cemetery, and all of us wish never again that we would have to do that. There's coming a day when every grave in that place where there's a born-again child of God, it'll burst forth, it'll come forth, that body will come out. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Uncle so-and-so's been buried there. He's been buried there for years and years and years. There won't be much left. Well, now, there might have been a time when you could have set up an argument and put up a howl, and we'd have said, well, we don't know the answer. But now then, we know a whole lot more. I mean, we know about DNA and RNA, RNA and ASAP. I mean, we know about all that stuff now, amen? We know about it. And we know that every single molecule of your body, every single molecule of your body, I mean, it's like the snowflakes that fall. Every one of them have their own identity. And there will be no trouble at all for the God who looked out in space and spoke worlds into existence. There will be no trouble at all for him to say, come out of the grave, and every single molecule of your being will be reconstituted in your body. I mean, even if your body has been scattered to the four winds, God knows how to bring it back into place. Now, that'll be a blessed day. And when this Bible says it is a blessed hope that we have, let me tell you, it is a blessed hope because it tells me there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. I don't know, you've probably noticed Christians are getting kicked around a lot these days. I mean, it's become popular sport to persecute, even to assassinate Christians in this time, and there's coming a time, though, when somebody's going to be in charge. I mean, the Lord is going to be in full charge, and there won't be any more of that trash going on. It'll be a better day. The Lord will have full sway and full control. He'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there won't be any drive-by shootings. There won't be any robberies at the 7-Eleven. There won't be people getting hurt needlessly. It just will not happen. There's a better day coming. It is a blessed hope that we have because the Bible says we shall be delivered. We'll be delivered. Listen, death will be done. Disease will be gone. I mean, never again will cancer and heart attacks and other things like that claim a victim. No longer will death and disease have a grip. We have been already delivered. We are being delivered, and we shall be delivered, the Bible says. And we have a blessed hope because of that deliverance. Whenever you get in some kind of a bind, some kind of a pressure, and somebody comes along and bails you out of that. Somebody comes along and just rescues you from that. And you look at it and say, man, you pulled me out. You delivered me. And we rejoice in that. And there is coming a day when the horn of heaven will sound and we shall be delivered from all of the hurt and heartache of this world. It is a blessed hope that we have because the devil doesn't win. Amen. Sometimes I look around and I say, there is so much going on around us. Man, it seems like the devil, I mean, he is winning the day, it seems like. And he does win a lot of skirmishes. He roams around this world like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you and I need to understand that he is up to dirt. He's up to damage. He'll do everything in the world that he can to destroy you if he can. But I want you to know there's a day coming when he will be slapped down finally and permanently and incarcerated so that never again will he be able to do any of that kind of stuff. He does not win. And that's part of the reason why I think he's fighting so hard now. He's a whipped dog and he knows it. And so like a wounded wolf, he's scratching for every victory that he can get. But there's coming a blessed day when he'll be put in his place, cast down into hell forever. This is a blessed hope that we have looking for the coming of Christ because the grave is not the end. No. You remember the baseball player Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over? Well, Yogi didn't quite get it right. What I'm telling you, Yogi, is it ain't over even when it's over. Even when everybody says, hey, he's dead, he's done, nothing more, but it's not over, there's more to come. It's not over when it's over. The grave is not the end. We have victory over the grave. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, but it will be destroyed. Blessed hope we have because when the horn of heaven sounds, that trumpet is raised and its globe encircling sound is heard. At that moment, we shall see the Lord. We will have the privilege to look into his blessed face and see him one-on-one. You know, every once in a while, I have the privilege to go somewhere, to some place like the White House or some other such place where that there's a lot of important people. Now, every time that I have an appointment to do something like that, every time that I go to the governor's office or whatever, and I've had those privileges through the years, but every time that I go, I'll be sure that my shoes are shined. I mean spit polish. I'll look through the closet and I'll find the sharpest looking tie that I can find. And I'll put on a spiffy suit. And I'll find me some cuff links that'll pop your eyes out. I'll wear Betty. I'll say to her for a week in advance, you know I've got that appointment next Monday. And I'll say, now, listen, be sure all my shirts are done. Be sure all, you say, well, the shirts are shirts. Yeah, I know, but you know, it's like you got to have them all done so you can pick one, amen? You say, what's the deal? I'm ready. I'm getting ready for an appointment with somebody that's important. And listen, I don't go in there all scruffy. I don't go in there, you know, unshaven. I don't go in there with my hair sticking in 29 different directions. No, I'm about to meet somebody that the world says and we think they're important. And so I go in there to make my best presentation. And I'm going to tell you one of these days when the trumpet of heaven sounds and the Lord appears, you and I get to see him face to face. We'll be glad. We'll be glad we played it straight last Monday. We'll be glad that we did well for him on Thursday. We'll be glad that we showed up for church on Sunday. We'll be glad that we didn't waste Sunday nights. We'll be glad that we brought somebody to church who got saved. We'll be glad for what we did in the Lord's service when we see him face to face. We'll be glad. It's a blessed hope that we have because we will see the Lord. a blessed hope, because at that time then heaven will become our home. Heaven. The Lord himself said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord promised that. Now, there's a bunch of you that I don't know very well yet. I shook hands with a bunch of you this morning, but I don't know where you are. But just think with me for a minute. In this room this morning, there will be some of you who live in a little efficiency apartment, and it's clean as a pin. You've got everything. I mean, it's just what you need right now, or maybe what you want. You're living in a little efficiency apartment. There's some of you maybe that you just managed this last year to buy your first house. And you've got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-car garage house, and you're so happy, you're so thrilled. I mean, you make that payment every month and you say, oh man, we bought our house. There may be a few people in this room that live in one of those places like I saw over here near the lake as I was coming and going last night and this morning. Some of those, I'm even afraid to guess the price tag on them. But it looks like some of them got 6 or 8 bedrooms and 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 baths and probably a 3 or 4 or 5 car garage. And if God's blessed you with something like that, God bless you. We're happy for you, and you know, invite us over and we'll come sometime. Amen. But you hear me, listen to me. I don't care what you got or what you don't got. Whatever you're living in, however simple it may be or however fancy it may be, it's nothing compared to heaven. It's nothing compared to heaven. And listen, you get there, there's no mortgage, amen. You're not having to pay rent, amen. Nobody's going to evict you, amen. You're not having to worry about paying the utilities. You're not having to worry about paying the insurance. Amen. Heaven is it's incredible beyond my ability to describe. And you're going to get to live in heaven forever and ever and ever because of a day when you trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you what, the day that we move into what he's prepared for us, that's a blessed day. The blessed hope that we have, I mean, it's something very, very special. Now, I have in my pocket, as some of you do, and the pastor was already talking about these phones. I just bought one of these i6 things about a month ago. It came out, and it was a great need in my life, a necessity. I had to have one. There's a lady who lives in here named Siri. I talk to her a lot. Sometimes I'll say, Siri, take me to downtown Dallas. And I'll give her a specific address. And you know, about 98% of the time, she gets me there. But there's times, if you paid attention to what she tells you, you'd wind up in Houston. What I'm telling you is, to get to go to heaven, you don't need a GPS. You don't need one of these little magic boxes. On this same phone, I've got an app that I punch in. I can hold it up here right now and tell you what stars are right out there, right there. Or if you want to know what's over there, it'll tell you. It's called Space Junk Light. I mean, I'm serious. It's a fabulous thing. You can just look around, find all the planets, all that kind of stuff. You're not going to need that to get to heaven. When that trumpet sounds, you won't have to worry about stuff like this, because the Lord's never lost a convert. He's never lost a case. He's never misplaced anybody's name, not even one. When the trumpet sounds and time is ended and this earth is winding down and it's time to go to heaven, you're not going to need a GPS. You're not going to need an app that'll point out where heaven is, because the Lord with His presence is going to say, come on up here, and He'll take us up and take us right on, every one of us. Now my question is, I told you, there was a day when somebody came down that little old road for me, brought the gospel for me. I'd never heard it. But listen, they didn't have to write an essay for me to figure out I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. And when they began to tell me about what Jesus had done to pay my whole debt, and that I could get in even though I didn't have a dime in my pocket, good night. I'm telling you, this little boy got stirred up. And I'm not over it yet. And what I'm glad to tell you this morning is, wherever you've come from, wherever you live, whatever you have or don't have, whoever you are, if you haven't trusted the Savior, if you don't have that settled, I'm happy to tell you that the same thing I got that Saturday morning in September a long time ago, I'm authorized out of this holy book to tell you that you can have it too. Because when Jesus died, He didn't just die for me. When He rose from the grave, He didn't just come out of the grave for me. He came out for you too. So that you could be saved, your family, your parents, your children, your grandchildren, your uncles, your cousins, I mean, every one of us, we all. I mean, whether you have come from America or Mexico or Canada or someplace far around the globe, it does not matter. Red and yellow, black and white, all of us are precious in God's sight. Every one of us. And He wants to do for us. I mean, the Lord in heaven has His eye on us, and He wants to save us. And if you don't have that settled, I'm going to ask you, please, let us help you with that today. It's a blessed day when Jesus is going to come back, and He will. And it's based on that we have a blessed hope, this verse tells us about.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.